minutes that we have left here, I'd like to just look at two verses very quickly that are related to this. Psalm 127, very familiar scripture to all of us. Psalm 127, the first two verses say, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." Father in heaven, would you lead us in the way we should go? Father, would you give us understanding of your word? Lord, not to just know what to do, but to know you. Not just to know you, but also to know what to do and how to respond to you. Father, I pray you'd speak to us today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. What kind of house are you building today? What kind of house are you building? How are you going about building it? Who's building your house? Think about these questions as we look at these verses. What kind of house are you building? Is it a temporal one or an eternal one? How are you building it? Who's building your house today? Many of us occupy our time building our house in the natural. We establish households, we get married, we buy physical homes, we move to better neighborhoods, we try to get our kids in the right schools, all those things in a sense, after a fashion, building our house or our household, right? We all do that, but I wonder today, are we building only in the natural realm? Is it only through the natural resources, or do we build with supernatural resources? Am I the only one who's there laboring, toiling, trying to build it up, to do all these things, or is there a supernatural aspect to it? Or better yet, do we allow the Lord to build our house, to tell us how to construct it? Do we construct it with his materials? Do we take the opportunity to take our hands off of it sometime and say, "God, you've got to do this because I can't do it. I can't do it myself." I was on vacation last month, and my wife heard about this place. It's called Montezuma's Castle. Montezuma's Castle. That's an awe-inspiring name, isn't it? Montezuma's Castle. Let's go see Montezuma's Castle. It's in Camp Verde, Arizona. Let's go to Montezuma's Castle. And what visitor wouldn't want to see Montezuma's castle? Lo and behold, we discovered that Montezuma's castle is neither a castle nor was it ever Montezuma's. And so we drive out into the desert, and here sits Montezuma's castle. The best part about Montezuma's castle is the sun shining above it, if you ask me. There it sits. There it is, the monument to... It was never Montezuma's. It was inhabited by some indigenous people groups there in what would have hundreds of years later be the southwest of the United States. You can't believe everything that you read in the brochure, folks. You can't just take the world's word for it and look at what kind of house they would call a castle. If you just take the world's word for it, you can find yourself driving out in the desert looking at ruins expecting to find a castle. And so we can't look at our lives and accept the world's version of what they would say is a castle and say, "I'm doing great, I'm doing everything right, I've got the right house, I got the right jobs, my kids are in the right school. Isn't this great? I'm building a castle here." Meanwhile, it's uninhabited ruins. Where will your household be generations from today? Will it be uninhabitable? Will it be out in the desert? Pretty interesting what the world will call a castle. And so I'll ask again, what kind of house are you building? Not your physical house, but your household. That's not what the psalmist is talking about here. He's talking about your household. He's talking about whether or not your spiritual house, whether or not the hours and minutes that you spend in your day will amount to anything at the end of it all. What are you going to have left to show for it? Doesn't matter if the world would look at it and call it a castle. It could be shambles, but still be a castle. What will be left of our household, our life's labors 100 years from now? When we build our house with what the Bible calls wood, hay, and stubble, with materials that won't last, that won't stand the test of time, then our house, the Bible says, won't stand the test of fire. It won't stand the test of fire. A few years ago, nature tested some of our houses, and they didn't stand the test of water, did they? In the natural, we saw, man, how do you know if something can stand a test? You give it a test. You give it a test. How do you know if it's going to hold water, or if it's a ship, if it's a vessel? How do you know if it's going to keep from taking in water? If it's a house, how do you know it's going to stand the test? The only way is to take a test. And Paul says to the Corinthians, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it's to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he's built on it remains, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss. We can build with wood, hay, and stubble, which won't stand the test of fire. But interestingly, in this passage, he says, if you build with gold and silver, precious stones, they stand the test of fire. Are we building with wood, hay, and stubble? Or are we building with quality materials? Interestingly, if you put gold and silver through fire, they become purified. They aren't burned up as fuel like wood, hay, and stubble are. They actually use fire to purify the gold and silver. What kind of house are you building? The psalmist says here, unless the Lord builds the house. Are you trying to do it on your own? Am I allowing the Lord to be the one who's supplying materials? You know, his materials and the way he builds a home is with things like love, things like joy, things like peace, the fruit of his spirit, faithfulness, patience. That's the way to build a house. It's going to last with materials that are going to stand the test of fire. Are we building it with harder work? Are we building it with more labor? Are we building it by just trying harder and thinking, well, if I do my best and have really good intentions, everything's going to work out the way that I want it to work out? Or are we building a household with quality materials? Unless, the psalmist says, unless the Lord builds your house, your labor is in vain. It's for naught, and that's a scary proposition to me. Started thinking about this recently. You know, they say that you spend your time doing different things. Time is spent, right? It's a commodity. It costs you something. Whatever you're spending your time on, it's costing you something. Unless the Lord is building your house, if I'm just spending my time on these other things, he says it's going to be in vain. It's going to be in vain. It's going to cost you something. You've got a limited amount of money and time in these things, right? You've only got so much time, and at the end of this life, what's it going to say? Will it have been in vanity? That word for labor, it's a little used Hebrew word, amal. It appears just a few times in the Old Testament. It means toil or hard work, as opposed to the word that they usually use for work is a different kind of word. This one means like the hardest kind, the toil. It's like backbreaking. In English, what do we say when a woman's having a baby? She's in labor, right? This is the kind of labor they're talking about. You can work as hard as you want in the worst kind of way, in the most desperate way. Any woman ever had a child here? It's hard, right? Every woman said amen, right? It's difficult. It's trying. It's like you're working as hard as you possibly can just to keep it together. And he's saying here in the context, you can work that hard and it can be for nothing. It can be in vain. That word vain means empty, false, deceptive, nothingness, worthless. You mean I can put out the hardest labor, the most intense output possible, and still have it be empty, worthless, meaningless, amount to nothing in the end? Yeah, that's what it means. Not my words, that's what it says. Unless the Lord's building your house, Christian and Elise, as you build your house, it's got to be more than good intentions and hard work. It's got to be more than hard work and good intentions. Good intentions will be tested. Some of the worst things possible have been done with the best of intentions. Intention isn't enough for you to build a house that's going to last. Your house is going to be tested. Your patience is going to be tested. Your intentions will be tested. Last week, we had the fire marshal, one of his inspectors, come here, and he tested us. He tested us a week or two ago. And he doesn't just stand on the outside and look and say, oh, everything appears okay from the outside looking in. No, he goes on the inside and he looks in the corners. He looks underneath. He looks above. Is everything where it needs to be? Is your house in order? Here comes the inspector. We had some of the Point Lookout and Lido Fire Department come and teach the kids earlier this year, some of the kids from the Morning Sun Nursery School. We want our building, our house, to be safe and operating the way it's supposed to, right? It's my grandchildren downstairs. I want them to be safe. All my friends are up here. I want you to be safe. So we bring in the inspector to come and test everything. Is it safe? Should people be here? Is it a danger to them? Is the house in order? Now, fortunately, he said, the house is in order. Pretty good. You passed the test. Awesome. But he had some advice for us on a couple of things. He said, hey, you ought to do this and that. And you know what we said? We said, okay. We said, yes, sir. He's the expert. He tells us what we need to do in order to have our house in order so that it's safe, so that it's the way it's supposed to be. Do we argue with the expert about how to go about setting our house in order? Would my spiritual house pass inspection? The inspector came in here and said, hey, there's a couple things you need to change. You need to get this. It's not quite in order the way it's supposed to. This is for your good. It's for your safety. It's for the people around you. Would I argue with him and say, no, I don't have to really do that. I can. Would you let the Lord build your house? You want it to last, don't you? And it's not just working harder. Verse 2 says, it's vain for you to just simply get up early and stay up late, to burn the candle, to eat the painful bread of sorrows or of labors. You won't have a lasting spiritual house simply by working more hours. He says in that the rest of that verse, he gives to his beloved in his sleep. The context there is that provision or even the yield of produce is granted or bestowed upon someone in the occasion of their rest. That's counterintuitive. That's counterintuitive to the way my mind works. Oh, I work harder and get a better result, a different result. He says, no, if you're willing to allow God to build your house with his materials on his terms, if you take the advice of the expert, the inspector, he says that even while you're resting, instead of just trying harder, you can have a yield of fruitful harvest even while you're resting. Imagine that. Imagine not striving so much. Imagine not being so stressed out. Imagine not trying to work harder and being caught up in this race. Imagine resting. That's what's possible if you're willing to let the Lord build your house. We've been talking recently about taking a step of faith and following the Lord, your guide who will lead you on the journey if we'll just follow. And we challenged each other in the last couple of weeks. Maybe the step of faith is to be willing to forgive somebody, to extend forgiveness. Maybe the step of faith is to be willing to close my mouth and just bite my tongue when all I want to do is defend myself or argue. Maybe the test of faith is to stand up and to be willing to testify. How about this? Would you take this step of faith today? Would you ask the Lord to build your house? Would you be willing to let the Lord build your house? This is an invitation, and it's one of two things. It could be the initial time that you say, you know what, I have been on the rat race. I have been trying to build my own house. I've tried to do things my way. Maybe it's been a little unsafe. Maybe I'm cutting corners. Maybe I wouldn't pass the inspection. Maybe at the end of it all, when there's a test of fire, I'm going to have nothing left. This is an invitation to say, Lord, would you build my house? Would you build my house with something that's going to last? Or if you're like me and you've asked him to build your house, but you stray from that at times, and you just start working yourself and trying to do it yourself and do your own thing, then it's an invitation to return to that fellowship. It's a return to rest. It's an invitation to anybody who has asked the Lord to build your house to return to him and say, Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to listen to the expert here. I want to be in fellowship with you. It's not just utilitarian. It's about a relationship with the Lord. It's about that covenant relationship that he wants to have with us, just like a husband and a wife. So maybe we'll just take a moment right now, take a minute or two right where you are, and this is a chance for each one of us to respond. And you may say for the first time, Lord, I want you to build my house. Would you build my house? Or you may just return to fellowship with him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been doing my own thing and building my own house. I want it to be yours again. I want your will to be done. I want your way to be done. So just take a minute right now and just between you and the Lord, respond to him in this moment. Father, I pray that you would find a home in our hearts. And I pray that the household that results from it, and the church body that results from it, and the community that results from you having a home in us, would be the household that you're building. It would be the community that you're building. Lord, we're sorry for trying to just work harder and do it our own way. Thank you for your love and a call to return. To return to you. Thank you for the beauty and the opportunity in this moment. It's yours. Lord, would you build our house? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet?